Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Butler entered Game 7, hitting 34% from downtown during the postseason. He had just gone 4 of 8 from 3 in Miami's Game 6 win. He may not be the world's greatest three-point shooter, but he earned the right to take that last shot in Miami's defeat to the Boston Celtics, 196. It sends the Heat home. It sends the Boston Celtics to the NBA Finals, where they will face the Golden State Warriors on Thursday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Courtney Cronin, Harry Douglas, kicking it with you on this Monday morning. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. I can't fault Jimmy Butler for doing what he did in that moment, because you know what, Harry? The guy played all 48 minutes on one leg, which he had done previous games, maybe not all 48 minutes, but the knee has been an issue since game three, as we saw when he got put to the bench, saved from himself there at the second half of game three, and he's been dealing with it ever since. The offense was not there in game four. It was not there in game five. Certainly was there in game six and again on Sunday night. 35 points in 48 minutes, not enough to close out the Boston Celtics for the Miami Heat. I don't really know what more to take away from Jimmy Butler, because if the definition of somebody like emptying the tank is what we saw from Butler on Sunday night, like, there was nothing more he could have done physically in order to get the Heat past the Boston Celtics. And I know people are going to go back to that shot. I can't fault him for taking it.
No, and when you say empty the tank, it's just like my gas tank right now, because these damn gas prices are so high, I need to go to an electric car. But Jimmy Butler did just that. He drove his car up and down that arena and emptied every last thing that he had in his body on that floor. And I can respect a guy like that, Courtney. When you build your team, right, you got to have those junkyard dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, you know, me and you, Courtney, we want to go open up a can of whoop ass on some people. We got to go to an alley, right?
Okay.
We need another alley cat with us. Jimmy Butler might be one of the first people I'm gonna pick to go in that alley with us and open up that can of whoop ass, because 100%. You need people like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been that guy who's, I mean, I think about the time where he forced his way out of Minnesota because he grabbed two equipment interns, crunched the mascot and someone in the front office, and orchestrated the whole thing of a game of 5-on-5 pickup basketball, dropped the mic, walked out, did his interview and said, peace, I'm out of here in Minnesota. He has that aggressive, intense energy, and that's how he plays. That's how he's always played. This guy does not know how to, like, do a halfway. It's either 0 or 100 miles an hour, and it's usually 0 when Eric Spoelstra's having to save him from himself like he did in game three and putting him on the bench for the second half so he could rest that knee. They needed Jimmy Butler. There was no way they were even going to make this a 7-game series without Jimmy Butler. And even though the shot selection wasn't there, he is not a terrific three-point shooter. He knows that. We know that. He still deserved the right to take that last second three after he grabs a defensive board. Even with Al Horford backing up to the basket, he chose to shoot the ball. It didn't go in, and the rest is history. Here's Jimmy Butler following the game on his thought process taking that late game three.
My thought process was go for the win, which I did. Missed a shot, but I'm taking that shot. My teammates liked the shot that I took, so I'm living with it.
If I'm a Heat fan, I'm not upset with Jimmy Butler this morning, because I want my best player, the guy who has not only earned it but has proven time and again to be that guy to take the kill shot at the end of the game. He went for the win. He did.
Not only that, he's the same guy that just scored 47 points in game six and gave you an opportunity to even be in a game seven. The same game seven that he had 35 points in. So you look at all the things that Jimmy Butler does. He defends, didn't come out of the game, had to be tired. But his mental toughness kicked in to go along with his physical toughness. But that just it just tells you the mindset of a guy like Jimmy Butler. And I need the Miami Heat to get this man another star who can put the ball in the basket at will, because if they would have had that, the Boston Celtics would have been in trouble and the Miami Heat would have been the team that went to the NBA Finals and not the Celtics, because they did not put the pedal to the metal when they should have. They did not choke out their opponent. And they left that door open for Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat to make that comeback. And once again, though, if Miami, transition-wise defensively, if they knock down free throws, if they aren't shooting so poorly from the three-point line, those are three other things to go along with that Strus three that didn't count. That's four things right there to go along with
And they lost by four.
Isn't that funny? By 4 points. How crazy is that?
It's ironic, to say the least, but I think it all circles back to you cannot argue that Jimmy Butler was not the best player in this postseason on any team bar none. That's the hill that I'm going to rest on, because without Jimmy Butler, they don't even make it to game five. I am convinced about that. And I know Bam Adebayo got them through game three, and you know, for a while it looked like things were trending in Miami's direction. Jimmy Butler is the reason that this team got as far as it did this year, not just because of this series, but what happened, you know, the previous series against Philly. It's all Jimmy Butler. This offseason, the priority has to be getting him a complimentary piece, because anybody who wants to argue that Jimmy Butler cannot be a superstar in a championship team is wrong. He's shown you that he can. Luka Doncic also showed you that he could, granted, completely different stages of his career. Luka's 23. He's got to work on conditioning. He's got to work on doing all the things that Jimmy Butler got out of the way in the early part of his career. But that argument is the exact same argument as it is in Miami. Two teams with superstar players that need more around them than they currently have. I don't know what Miami could have done.
I'm laughing right now. Can I tell you why I'm laughing?
Of course.
I'm laughing because PJ Tucker and Max Strus went 2 for 9 from the three-point line yesterday. That's what, 22%? 22% from the three-point line?
Yeah, the team shot like 6 of 30 threes, which is 20%.
Those are two guys. P.J. Tucker had 0 points. Max Strus had 8 points. He went 3 for 10 totally.
Yeah.
They're normally counting on at least 10 points from both of those guys. They got 8 points between the two of them.
And 0 from Tyler Hero, who I know was dealing with that groin injury, but that was still a big blow for them.
Yep.
When he came out expecting to play, went through his pregame shoot-around, and he did not play. You know, I think the other thing, too, is that this backcourt, they've got to figure it out. They acquired Kyle Lowry last offseason for a reason. He's been up and down.
Disappointing season.
I think the 15 he chipped in last night, and I think it was 18 the other night. Important contributions in Game 6 and Game 7. He's not the reason that they lost. But P.J. Tucker, minus 16, that was the worst plus minus of any player on the floor yesterday, and just was like a liability out there. To me, I mean, with all of the turnover issues that Boston had, for them to all of a sudden not be forced into those situations in Game 7, I don't think it's just a matter of them tightening things up and playing better, because they nearly gave the game away at the end. Let's not forget that. I think it's something to do with just like, gosh, Miami must have been gassed or just like mentally like not all the way there on the defensive end, which typically, I mean, that's a P.J. Tucker assignment. That doesn't have to all fall on Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they had matchup problems in transition. You see guys not in key places. But I thought the Boston Celtics did a great job of getting out in transition and running and attacking early in the shot clock, so the Miami defense wasn't as potent as we're normally accustomed to seeing them. But when it comes to Jimmy Butler and it comes to the Miami Heat, find him another star. Find him a guy that he can count on, because that team, not just him, that team was tired last night. Watching their half-court basketball was atrocious at times. When it came to the offensive side and the defensive side, to be honest, and this is a team that is good defensively. But offensively, watching them in the half court, I kept saying to myself, they have to tighten up their defense so they can get out and run and get points that way, because their half court offense is terrible. Like Charles Barkley said, terrible.
And it hasn't been good this postseason. Like, that's where all of the issues for Boston and all of their turnovers, like, don't give Miami opportunities in the half court that you can prevent by holding on to the ball and being smarter and making smarter decisions. It got covered up.
I got to say this. It got covered up.
Okay.
Because they played the Hawks in the first round. The Hawks aren't a good defensive team. Everybody, oh, my goodness. Oh, the Heat, they're magical. They're looking good offensively. It's the damn Hawks. They don't play defense, and that's my team.
Okay.
Then they play Philly. Joel Embiid has a fractured orbital. He missed the first two games. James Harden out there looking like he too damn big and don't look like he in shape and has been a disappointment. Sorry, Pat, but I got to go on my rant right now. That's your team. I don't give a damn. But James Harden not looking up to par and playing to his capabilities, right? And the Sixers aren't like that defensively, but then they get to that Eastern Conference Finals, and you have a team like the Boston Celtics who then been through a Kevin Durant and Kyrie and a Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, and now they faced the Miami Heat and showed them what defense really, really is as well. It was tougher for them offensively.
Jimmy Butler scored 82 points in his last two games. That is a postseason two-game high for the Miami Heat star. Played all 48 minutes in Game 7. 48 hours after scoring 47 points, another career high in a do-or-die with Boston 2 days earlier. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. So on the Celtics side of things here, I found a really interesting stat. Grant Dowling, one of our great sports content researchers here at ESPN, I asked for this because I was curious. Like, with Boston, we know that the Warriors are favored by three. That was the opening line in the series once an opponent was decided. They were favored going into this series, going into the NBA Finals, before we even knew whether it was going to be Miami or Boston, which I think was a little unfair. I wish they wouldn't have released a line like that, because I just think it's just a cheap way to, like, disrespect your opponent.
Oh, yeah.
But I was curious. Like, the Celtics have played two back-to-back seven-game series. They did it with Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference semifinals. They just did it with Miami in the Eastern Conference finals. And like you and I talked about earlier this morning, I think that the series with the Warriors is going to go six, maybe seven. So I was curious, has a team ever won the NBA Finals having gone seven games, and then, you know, an extended period of time? So according to our stats and research group, only one team has done that after winning consecutive Game 7s before winning an NBA Finals. That was the 1988 Lakers. So they beat the Jazz, they beat the Mavericks, and then they beat the Detroit Pistons in the Finals. And they're also the only Western Conference team to win consecutive Game 7s to reach an NBA Finals. Why do I say all of this? It's so rare that it happens this way that I worry that Boston's going to be completely gassed by the time that they face Golden State in Game 1 and come out super flat. Like, that would be my biggest point of emphasis for them, because Golden State can start out really, really strong, as we know. I mean, the thing is, too, like, they can also trail in the third quarter and be the best fourth quarter team that we see in the postseason. They're plus 94 in the fourth quarter. I can get into that stat a little bit more, but they're rested. They are ready, and they've been preparing for a while now, as Draymond Green had said, to be able to get to the Boston Celtics, the team that they thought they were going to face all along. Joining us now on the, I don't know, do we have a name for this call-in line anymore? Nope. Okay, so joining us now, Amari Stoudemire, six-time NBA All-Star, five-time All-NBA player, member of our ESPN family, here to break down a little bit more of the Celtics Heat Game 7. Amari, thanks so much for giving us some time this morning. How impressed were you with the Celtics for winning three road games against the number one seed?
That's not an easy deal. You know, it's tough to win road games in the playoffs, especially in the conference finals. So kudos to them for accomplishing that. But, you know, they are a well managed team, and I'm not surprised.
Amari, what do you take of the last second three by Jimmy Butler, him being the best player for the Miami Heat, their superstar guy, a guy that he basically put the organization on his back throughout this entire playoffs and the entire season, gained the number one seed as well. Do you question his shot selection, or you just got to live with it, with him being the best player?
Yeah, you got to live with it. I mean, obviously the analytics would say, well, it's a 29% shot. It's not his best shot. It's not his high percentage shot. But – you know, again, when you're a basketball player and you're playing the actual game, you know, it doesn't come down to percentages. You know what I'm saying? It comes down to the best shot that you have, the open shot that you have. And at that moment, that was the only open shot within that space on the court at that time. Al Horford was backing off of him. He played 48 minutes, and you're not going to have the energy to try to beat him off the dribble and Al Horford's length and strength trying to get to the basket. You know, it'll be even a lesser percentage shot if you ask me. So I do think you just live with that shot, that Jimmy Butler shot.
Mari Stoudemire joining Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max here on ESPN Radio. Courtney Cronin, Harry Douglas filling in for the guys. Jimmy Butler played 46 minutes in Game 6, the game where he scored 47 points, a playoff career high. He turns around 48 hours later to play a full 48 minutes in Game 7. From your perspective, having done this before, what is playing 45-plus minutes feel like late in a game? I mean, you had mentioned it with him not having the energy to drive on Al Horford and take that shot. What does that feel like for a player as the grind wears in?
I mean, obviously, you find a reserve tank, right? You know, you always have a reserve tank on standby for those kind of moments. So, you know, and you prepare yourself for those moments. You train at a high level to make sure that you're in top shape to where you can play as much as possible. But in the playoffs, it's a different intensity. You know, the game is more physical. You know, the officiating is, you know, the calls are not as often. And so you want to take advantage of the open space and the open shot. And it's not easy playing 48 minutes. I mean, it's gruesome. There's a lot of, you know, nagging little injuries that happen. And on top of that, Jimmy Butler is also recovering and you know, and still, you know, being challenged by this knee injury. So I'm sure it was a difficult moment for him to play 48 minutes.
Mari, what do you think of this finals matchup between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics? And what kind of issues do the Celtics present to the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think this is the best. Boston and Golden State are the two best teams in the NBA. And it shows, you know, in order to get to the finals, every time it seems to be that the best player, the best teams are the ones who actually get to the finals. So we are seeing the top two teams in the NBA. And these two teams are basically equally matched, right? Mm-hmm. I do give the edge to Boston because of their size and their strength and their ability to guard, you know, any position with multiple players. So I will give the defensive edge to Boston, but it's going to be an interesting matchup.
Amari, we know in the Western Conference Finals that the Warriors' number one prerogative was do everything humanly possible to try to slow down Luka Doncic. And they were successful in four or five games doing that. And it wasn't just sticking Draymond Green on him as the primary defender. It was Andrew Wiggins. It was Kevon Looney. They gave him a lot of different looks. That said, spinning that forward to how this team is going to defend Jason Tatum, do you think they take that same sort of approach, or is this going to be a matchup where we see Draymond Green stuck primarily on Tatum?
Well, you got to figure that out. From a coaching standpoint, you got to try to identify, you know, which one of your best defensive players is going to guard their best offensive player, right? So if you say Draymond Green is going to guard Jason Tatum, who's going to guard Jaylen Brown? Who's gonna, you know, so there's matchup issues for the Celtics, for the Warriors defensively, but I'm sure they're gonna try to figure it out and be the best they can be as far as switching. They can put Andrew Wiggins on a few guys. They got a nice nucleus of defensive players that they can rotate around and change up matchups, but it won't be easy.
Now, Amari, I'm about to go rogue with this next question I'm about to ask you. Haven't seen you in a while since you and my brother were playing in New York together, Tony. But
yeah.
I do remember being down in South Beach at your place. And, you know, I go to South Beach a lot. And I got to ask you, do you still have your place down there? Because, you know, prices are getting high. COVID then came, still here. You know, everybody want to jack up their prices hotel-wise. I need to know, do Amari Stoudemire still own that nice place? I'm not going to tell people where it's at down in South Beach for the next time that I go down to South Beach.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm still. That's where I'm at, brother. You know, between Miami and New York is my two places where I spend the most time. So I do still have my place in Miami.
Okay, say less.
Yes, sir.
I know where Harry's going after this show. We were talking about his Memorial Day barbecue. He might come down to your place, Amari, and throw down.
Yeah, let's go. I got the ribeyes on standby.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Say it again.
I got the ribeyes on standby.
The question now is, do you have lobster?
He eats hot dogs and hamburgers. I told him I don't cook that for no cookout. It's real food.
It's real food. Ribeyes. Ribeyes are expensive.
Ribeyes.
Amari Stoudemire can afford ribeyes, and so can you, Harry.
Let's go.
So you can have it for the rest of us. Amari, quick one before I let you get out of here. I know Steph Curry and the conversation surrounding finals MVP is a big one when we use the L word in sports. We talk about his legacy and what it would mean. And I know back in 14-15, even Andre Iguodala said that Steph should have won the finals MVP that year. And then it was, you know, KD won the other two. Like, how do you feel like that's going to affect Steph here? I mean, I know that he's not going to publicly talk about wanting to win it, but what do you think winning a finals MVP would do for Steph in the overall conversation about, like, how we view him going forward?
I don't think it really matters that much, to be quite honest with you. I mean, winning a championship supersedes anything, right? I mean, that's the ultimate goal. So if he gets another title, then the conversation of his legacy would be even greater than what it is now, even though it's already great at the moment. So winning the finals MVP would be an addition to what he wants to accomplish or have another accolade or another trophy. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it affects his legacy as much as we think. He's already the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's immortalized in this game. The next generation look up to him as the best player in this generation. To some opinions, to some young players. So he's already solidified.
NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors have home court advantage. Those games start on Thursday out in San Francisco. Warriors and Celtics, the last two remaining. He is Amari Stoudemire, six-time NBA All-Star, part of our ESPN family, joining Courtney Cronin and Harry Douglas here.
Yes, sir.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Thanks so much, Amari. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Ribeyes. Mm-hmm. Want some ribeyes?
Yeah.
I'm like, actually, I mean, I know it's 9:20 Eastern time, like, but he said that, and now I'm hungry.
How do you like it cooked, though?
Medium rare.
Oh, Lord.
Harry, don't tell me you're one of these people who kills meat. Like, you're going to do it, like, well done?
Oh, my stomach. No, medium well.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost threw up.
What is wrong with it?
The meat should be pink.
I almost threw up in my own mouth.
That's you say medium well?
Yeah. Who cooks food like that?
That's,
are you British?
That's a crime.
I cook it the way my guests like it, but when I'm cooking it for myself, I cook it medium well.
So, so Courtney, is your food like moving
on the
plate? Like that joint making noise?
I don't know why this is like a slander on the way that I like my steak cooked. Sorry that I like flavor. I saw how much like seasoning you threw on your lobster. It looked like butter and oregano and Old Bay and God knows what else was on there. And you want to sit in here and criticize me about how I want my steak cooked, having it medium rare.
Okay.
Let's go to break. We'll continue our breakdown of Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
They lost at home in Game 6. Had to come south to South Florida for Game 7. Got out to a big lead. Butler the rebound with 20 seconds to go. Shot clock is off. He's going for the lead of three. Missed it.
You know, to get over this hump in the fashion that we did it, obviously we took the toughest route possible. And then to win a Game 7 and go to the championship on the road is special.
Ow. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas, Courtney Cronin, kicking it with you on this Monday morning. We're joined now by Mark J. Spears, ESPN senior NBA writer for Anscape. Mark, let's break down a little Game 7 action after Harry stops dancing here in studio. Or maybe you can just continue on dancing. I don't know. Maybe you're doing it on the phone, too.
Just like candy.
The electric slide. Electric slide right now.
How do you feel about the way that both Miami and Boston played down the stretch? Polar opposites for each.
I think it's just survival of the fittest, man. It's just like this this big fight that took forever, and Celtics just, you know, had enough strength to last it out. I kind of feel bad for, you know, all the NBA fans involved because we didn't see everybody healthy. And that's the tough part about teams when you have long series. For the Celtics, it's the second 7-game series in a row. Like, you're not going to get the best. I mean, obviously, Tyler Hero wasn't himself. P.J. Tucker got hurt. Robert Williams, 15 minutes, wasn't himself. And so, you know, it was like the Celtics, at least their stars were healthy. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's facing something, too. He got his knee drained the other day. Celtics had healthier stars and were able to finish it out. But I do worry for them when they come into this Warriors series, because the Warriors have been chilling in San Francisco for a few days now and don't have to get on a plane and haven't gotten on a plane in a few days. And, you know, when you have teams that have played game sevens two in a row, only seven, I mean, this will be the seventh time, only six of those teams have lost. So I think these last two series certainly could potentially play a toll on the Celtics not being quite themselves when they do play the Warriors, whereas Gary Payton got enough time, I think, to come back. Now there's some talk about, you know, Iguodala being back and Porter. So I think while the Celtics are still going to be trying to put some Band-Aids on, the Warriors could be a lot healthier.
Mark, when you look at this Boston Celtics organization, having the self-awareness and the self-evaluation to, and Brad Stevens as well, to step down and go into the front office, hire Ime Udoka, yeah. He has led this team to the NBA Finals, but also it wasn't all cookies and creams. He got those guys to believe. How significant is this for Udoka?
I mean, huge, a rookie head coach. And then, you know, he had his struggles going in as the team adapted, and he adapted to the team. But you could certainly make an argument that from January 1st on, the Celtics were the best team in the league and figured it out. And I think that one thing that Ime has done is really, really, you know, brought the best out of Jason Tatum, made him a force, made him realize how great he is. And, players, you know, as a former player, I do think that there's a way he could relate to the players that perhaps Brad Stevens couldn't. And so he, you know, he's I don't know the stats for rookie head coach. I haven't seen one yet. But for him to do that, yeah, the roster was good. Yeah, they had very great expectations. But still, you still got to get there. So I did a story on him earlier this year, just telling his background. It's actually up on the Antscape site if people want to read it. But, I mean, Doc Rivers gave him huge respect. I think everybody needs to give him huge respect because this isn't the norm. Usually this is a growing period of time. And if you look at, like, the job he did, the job Willie Green has done, there have been some rookie head coaches that have done phenomenal jobs this season.
We're talking with Mark J. Spears, ESPN senior NBA writer for Antscape. Before we pivot forward to the NBA Finals matchup between the Celtics and the Warriors, I wanted to ask you about Jimmy Butler. He is a definition of somebody who just, like, emptied the tank, left it all out there. As the Heat go into the offseason, how do they prioritize what they're going to do to make sure that Jimmy Butler doesn't have to do it all alone next season?
You know, they might have help in-house. I mean, I think they do have help in-house. Like, Tyler Hero would have helped him out if he was healthy. So you got to put that in perspective as well. I expect Hero to come back and have a great season. In terms of Victor Oladipo, he's another one where I wonder if, with the time elapsed from his major injuries, will he be a bigger addition next season too? He could use, I think he could use health more than he could use scoring help, because Tyler would have gave him that. And also, you know, I wonder if Duncan Robinson could get moved this summer. Teams always need shooting. And I'm sure maybe some may not love his contract, but there's always a market out there for somebody who could hit a three. So perhaps that's also a way to get some help, is to move Duncan Robinson. And in terms of having people that would be interested in going to Miami, I don't think that's a problem. I think people will want to go there. But if we have to keep in perspective that they were. And if Victor is healthier next year, Hero is healthy, I think if Hero is healthy this series, we're even talking about this.
Mark, I got to ask you this last one. From the Celtics' perspective, what's the one thing you're worried about going into the NBA Finals?
Not health, because they're talented enough to beat the Warriors. They have the size, they have the talent, they have the superstar, they have the co-star, and obviously they have the Defensive Player of the Year. But also lack of experience. Not one of their players have played on this level. So you have fatigue, and then the awe factor. It's funny, when we were in the finals last year, I remember Giannis being in awe of all the media that was there. And I was like, bro, this is nothing. This is a pandemic finals. It's like 20 people in a room. Real finals is like people from all over the world coming. So I wonder, game one, is it a wash for the Celtics because of fatigue and also the awe factor of being on the road on this stage? This is new. It's different. So those are the two main things that I'm concerned about for Boston.
Mark, great stuff. Thank you so much for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Can I get that music on the way out?
Yates, you got that music?
It's like candy.
Whatever Mark J. Spears wants, whatever he wants, he gets. ESPN senior NBA writer for Handscape joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coming up next, Harry likes ketchup on steak. I'm serious. I wish I was lying.
Wow.
But he's going to tell you all about that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Depends how it's cooked. Okay, so Harry was revealing to us during our last interview with Amari Stoudemire, because we were talking about barbecuing, and I guess we're all going down to Amari's house in Miami after this, because he has ribeyes. And Harry asked me how I like my ribeyes cooked, and I told him medium rare. And he looked, and then he started mooing. You want to reenact what you did?
Moo.
So then he proceeds to admit that he likes his steak. I asked him, like, how you like it? Like, well done? And he said medium well, right?
Yes.
So
I'm graduating.
We were then talking about how it's disrespectful to put, like, A1 or their steak sauce on a steak because that's not how you're supposed to eat. And he said if he doesn't like the way that meat's cooked, especially a steak, he's going to put ketchup on it.
If it's not seasoned properly, I'm going to put ketchup on it. So can I?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't want to name this restaurant because I don't have to pay for my meal all the time when I go to this restaurant.
Is it in Atlanta?
It's a chain. It's all over the place.
Okay.
But this steak, this restaurant, when they cook their steaks, it isn't seasoned to my liking. So I have to ask for a side of
ketchup.
Why
do you go there then?
Because it's
free. Because he gets free food. $3.99.
It's free. And it's a top steakhouse, too. It's free.
Okay.
But you have to put ketchup on it.
Yeah, so it can taste like candy.
There's something wrong with you.
Okay, see, like...
I ketchup.
Well, so my very first time eating steak ever in my life, I ate it with ketchup. So it's kind of like one of those things you revert back to every now and then because that's the way you first started eating steak. And so if a steak is seasoned properly, I don't need any A1 sauce, ketchup,
no
anything.
Kidding. Nobody does. That's how
but
you're supposed to eat it.
If it's not seasoned up to its proper standards, which in... being a man of color, we love a lot of seasonings. So if it's not up to the standards, then I have to put ketchup on it.
Okay, so you're basically eating a glorified hamburger at that point.
Stop it right
now. It is.
It's just a hamburger in a different form.
Yeah, you're going to put it on a bun?
Yeah.
And
you just wasted all that money on that ribeye just to make it into a hamburger.
So he's been lying about eating hamburgers.
What if the
ribeyes hamburger?
What if the ribeyes have been donated to me? See, there we go, guys. It's angles around all this stuff.
So
you got
donated ribeyes and then ruined them. Congratulations.
Yeah, I wouldn't give you a ribeye after doing that, Harry.
So now I got to post my steak on Twitter now. So my Twitter post for steak is coming up in about 20 seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I want to see how you cook them because you did the lobster. So I just retweeted it. So he says, yes, I cook lobster tails at his cookouts. It's on my Twitter, at Courtney R. Kern. You can go see all the seasoning, like an absurd amount of seasoning that Harry put on his lobster tails. Let's see what's going on with the steak. Coming up next here, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Just looking for a cookout, that's all.
Let us know where we need to pull up after we get off air here, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Don't invite the people from Greeny. Just invite us. They're coming up next. They got to work anyways.
Since we're talking cookouts, are you guys hot dog people or hamburger people?
I don't think I've ever eaten a hot dog or a hamburger at any cookout I've hosted at my house.
What do you eat? What do you make?
Ribs, chicken.
See,
if I'm cooking ribs, chicken, salmon, all that kind of stuff, I'm not cooking a hamburger
or
salmon? A hot dog.
Salmon?
Salmon.
Salmon with an L.
Salmon?
You really hit that.
You really hit that L.
Salmon.
Get that out of my head. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Courtney Cronin, Harry Douglas, cruising right along on this Monday morning of Memorial Day. So we're a couple days away from the NBA Finals getting started here. Right here on ESPN Radio, Golden State Warriors have home court advantage in the finals, and the Boston Celtics, who, as we just talked to Mark J. Spears of Anscape, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out in game one and lay a clunker because they are so tired right now.
Oh,
they just went back-to-back game sevens
West Coast, East Coast,
and from Milwaukee to Miami, and now they've got to go out to Golden State. And the Warriors have been hanging out at home, probably cooking lobster tail and ribeyes the last few days for their cookouts.
By the way,
getting ready.
I just posted the picture of the ribeyes that I cooked recently.
Okay, all right. Wait a second, Harry. That's medium rare.
That's medium well in my eyes.
Y'all, I can't even right now. That is medium rare. No. Look at the red. That's not.
So all
Yates,
this,
pay attention. All this I need time, you to take a look at this steak that Harry just cooked. He cooked recently.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
this is medium rare.
If you have Twitter, go to @HDouglas83 and look at the post I just posted. Also, I tagged Keyshawn J. on the Max.
That's like medium at the least.
Also, take back all the bad things y'all said about me then. Can y'all take the bad things back?
I can't eat this joint, yo.
You can't eat that yet?
It's too rare for me.
Okay, so if that's rare for you, then Harry, you said that that's medium well?
That's medium well to me.
No, sir, that is...
All right, I don't think you know how to cook.
Yeah.
I think Harry needs a meat thermometer. Like, can we get Harry a meat thermometer? Can we get a sponsor for that? Where's this mooing coming from? Because you were the
his
one...
His plate. It's coming from his plate. What is that?
It is not mooing. It is not as red and as pink as y'all think.
I heard it.
Okay?
There's a moo.
Stop it right
that
now.
That looks great. Honestly, that looks great. Something you would get like at a restaurant. That is like restaurant quality.
No,
I would eat that.
It's a little better than a restaurant. See, because it's seasoned up to the right quality.
Okay, what do you season it with?
I can't tell you all that, Courtney. See,
That's some nonsense.
So my parents are opening a restaurant. Right now, they do a lot of catering. So I can't give all up the family secrets and stuff out to people. Okay. They may try to copy our family recipes.
Okay, and honestly, they should try to cook it this way because this is the way that you cook steak. That's perfect.
No, you cook steak the way the people that orders the steak ask you to cook it.
Okay,
you don't
well.
Cook it just the because that's a pet peeve of mine. It's just like, that's why I fired my yard people 2 years ago. He want to cut my damn grass the way, at the length that he wants to cut my grass. And I like my grass to be high. So guess what? I gave him the boot, kicked him right in his ass, kicked him out of there, fired him on the spot. Don't tell me you're going to cut my grass the way I want my grass cut.
How did he cut it? Like, what was wrong with it?
Too damn low.
So you don't like it like the turf?
No.
You want it to grow a little bit
yes.
more? Okay.
And not, they're not jobless, but they're not cutting my grass anymore.
All right. I'm sure they're somewhere else, probably not eating good meat. I mean, Harry, honestly, this looks great. I don't know why you, like, we were, like... I'm looking at my Twitter responses right now because I asked people to tell me. Harry says that it's medium well. I said it's medium rare. Someone says, is that cowhide? That's medium. Leave him alone. Medium for me. That's medium. I worked at Steak and Ale for 10 years, and this is definitely medium rare. That guy's getting a favorite from me. That's Jeffrey at Jeffrey M. Reed. You get a favorite because that's accurate. What's another
one?
So
I'm getting a lot of love, though.
Where's the char on the outside? I mean, that's you're asking for a little bit much. Like, you got to put like a crust on it.
So sometimes I cook steak on a stovetop.
And you sear it, right?
Yes, and then sometimes I cook it on the grill. So I didn't cook this on the grill. So that char.
I think you get the char a little bit more from when you cook it in the oven for a little bit, then you sear it, right? Like, isn't that what you're supposed to get the crust from?
Well, so I sear it first. I sear it first.
And then you do it in the
I
oven.
I put it in the oven.
Okay. Are you doing like cast iron? Are you one of those people?
Cast iron skillet. Yeah, I'm old school. When I fry chicken, I fry chicken also in a cast iron skillet on the stove.
Okay.
You know, that's the kind of guy I am, you know?
Okay.
But you know what?
I
love gas stoves, too. I don't like the other one. What's the other one's called?
Like a
electric burner?
Yeah, there you go. I don't like those kind of stoves. I like gas stoves.
I mean, honestly, you're getting a lot of love here on Twitter, Harry, because I threw this out there and... Here, that's a great response. That's more rare than me having a girlfriend. That's what someone said on Twitter about your steak.
Do they need help?
I mean, they might. I think you did a good job here, Harry. I this should be your when you get back
y'all
to Atlanta.
Y'all should be looking forward to coming to Harry Douglas. No,
is it,
Pat,
no, no.
Stop.
Is it a good job if you didn't mean to do it? Because clearly you weren't aiming for that cook.
That could be ignorance on Harry's part, thinking that he's been eating medium well his entire life, and it's actually medium rare.
No. So I haven't been. So I was a well done guy, almost burn it guy for the longest. So
like,
I've been
like no red whatsoever is what you used to do, right?
Yes. Okay. Now I like some red.
I mean, here, this is, I just can't get over it. This is perfect. Like, I would eat this.
Pat's upset. Pat's mad that you're saying this is perfect. Keep on, Courtney. I'm so glad that you're here this morning.
I mean, you're keeping all these, like, crazy people away from me on social right now, saying that, like, I said that Steph's, like, a terrible player in the finals. All I said is that he's never won a finals MVP, and statistically speaking... he has not been at Steph Curry, peak Steph Curry best in the NBA Finals.
Look at Pat's face right now. Look how mad he is.
I'm looking at this picture of your lobster. And
the lobster is a little extra because of all the seasoning, and it's just like too perfect.
No. 5 million seasonings?
My wife said it was perfect. Perfect.
Because you can't actually taste lobster because lobster is terrible and tastes bad.
You just have to taste my food, okay? Before you started bashing me, just taste my food. I asked Pat, what do you want me to cook for you? I'll cook anything you want me to cook. He mentions a damn hot dog. A hot dog.
And hamburgers.
And a hamburger.
And hamburgers.
Yes, for two things.
The lobster joint look crazy good, though. I'm not going to lie. It looks
edible. Solid seasoning.
Yeah.
What did he call it?
Butter?
Butter boat?
A butter boat.
It's a vehicle for butter.
Butter.
Sure.
Golly. Well, I know where I'm going after I fly back today from Bristol.
Never y'all in Atlanta.
Just let me know. Harry's for a barbecue.
Steel, while you back there rolling your damn eyes.
I didn't roll my eyes.
Steel. Whatever you want, I got you too, brother.
Hot dogs.
You and whiskey. I got whiskey for you, too.
I'll drink anything.
See, he wants hot dogs. Yates, what do you want? You never even said.
Well,
What does he want?
I would like a salmon cheesesteak, but that's just
okay.
A salmon cheesesteak?
Cheesesteak.
Salmon.
Salmon with an L?
I said salmon.
By the way, really quick, salmon. I go deep sea fishing in Alaska. My trip's coming up in June, so the king salmon that I have is basically fresh. In the halibut.
He's gonna bring it here.
You're gonna be in the ocean?
So, yes.
He's going to Alaska and then he's going to Columbia.
You gotta chill.
Like two very different places.
I'm tripping. Whales is terrifying. Because 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, this was fun. I'm going to go cook some salmon and enjoy my Memorial Day. Greenies coming up next here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.